Well, as I mentioned this morning, we're going to be considering together from Psalm 119, the verses 9 through 16. I must say, I'm struggling really to get back into Daniel. I really have tried it, and I don't know what it is, but I am just wrestling with that. It may be that I have to set Daniel aside, and I'm thinking about another brief series. We'll see what happens in the coming week. I'm going to read the verses 9 through 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the ways of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. May God bless to us the reading of this portion of our scriptures this evening.
How can a young man or woman keep his way pure?
As I said this morning, that's a wonderful question. Not only to be aimed at a young man or a young woman, but to any of us. It's a wonderful question to be asked because God, the creator of heaven and earth, God, the giver and taker of life, God, the judge of all mankind, has revealed that without purity, without holiness, no man or woman will see him. The writer to the book of Hebrews says in the 12th chapter in the 14th verse, strive for holiness, for without which no one will see the Lord. Jesus speaking in Matthew recording it says, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. John writes in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So the question, how can a young man keep his way pure, is not a theoretical question. It's not a hypothetical question. It is the single most important question that any young person or adult can ask themselves in the duration of their life. How can I keep my way pure? Because God has stated clearly that only by purity can one enter into an eternal existence with him. The consideration of what we have here, I can guarantee you, young people, young and old alike, if you will hear it, and if by God's grace you will heed it, it can save you thousands of pounds in your life of wastage. It can save you many fruitless relationships. It can save you many sleepless nights. It can do good for your health. It can bring you emotional stability. And those are just the affairs of today, let alone entrance into heaven. So this, as I said, is not something of little consequence. This is something that every single one of us needs to hear and consider. Not for the benefit of the person sitting beside us, although there will be a benefit for the person sitting beside us if we hear and consider it. Not for the benefit of the church, although there will be a benefit to the church if you hear and consider it. But ultimately and primarily for your own personal life. Your life. Your one life. Your one single, solitary life. There is much to be gained from the hearing and the heeding of what God says here. It's not a question that many are asking in today in our society. Very few, young or old alike, are asking, what is the way of purity? In fact, I don't think that we're living at a time, I don't think that in the history, recent history of our nation, there has been a time when there has been a less asking of this question than there is at the present. I'm not saying that previous generations were not sinful. They were. I'm not saying that previous generations had not a propensity to walk in their own ways and to pursue after that which is evil. They did. They did. You only have to read the newspapers of bygone generations to see the reality of that. But there is in our society, in our culture today, a medium, an avenue, which I believe has opened up the potentiality for a greater denial of the asking of this question than what had previous generations, and I referred to it this morning. The internet. And the interconnectivity of the internet. And the facelessness of the internet in many ways. And the exchange of comments that transverse the internet that would not be said face to face, but because of a degree of anonymity that comes through simply use of a name. There is a saying and there's a wording and there's an exchange of views that is, and there's a culture of impurity that is increasing and increasing at a pace. That which formerly would have been said between two or three people as a joke is now finding its avenues into many, many people's lives. And there is an increase of the expression of depravity. There's an increasing tide of expression of impurity. There's an increasing tide of conversation about sexual activity and immorality and other forms of debauchery that seems to have behind it a momentum that will not be stayed. Attempts to censor are fought legally in the courts with this attitude: there must be this expression, there must be the right for expression of free speech. And so we are, and those of you who are older, and what I mean by older is, well, whatever age, you may not be aware of the sheer scale of the perverseness, the sheer scale of the debauchery, the sheer scale of the sinfulness that is being discussed and talked about. It is unbelievable. It is unreal. We are privileged. And I mean that. We are privileged to be in a place we are considering this question. We are privileged that we want to even consider this question. Because the debauchery and the immorality and the filth and the sinfulness that is increasingly pervading our society is a singularly unmitigated disaster. It's a disaster. It's a disaster for relationships within families. It's a disaster for relationships between men and women and men and men. It's a disaster for relationships between parents and children and parents. This is not good. It is not good. And we are privileged to be actually even thinking about what we can do in our lives to address this evil, corrosive and destructive as it is. The first step to the keeping of a pure life is the guarding of one's heart. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Why is the first step to purity in an individual's life the guarding of the heart? Well, it's because there is a real threat of attack, a real intense threat of attack to the heart and the mind and the soul of the one who would seek to be pure. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him." The one who would desire to be pure does not live in an arena where everything is neutral. Those who strive to be pure are not living in a context where everything in the world around them is neutral, where they are free to live their life according to what they believe to be genuine and good and wholesome, without anybody questioning that, or without anyone seeking to distract them from that, or distort them from the pursuance of that holy life. We do not live in a vacuum. We live in a world that hates and despises God, a world which is seeking to overthrow the kingdom rule of Jesus Christ. And that world is answering to the demands and the dictates of the father of all lies. The devil is not absent from the world, unlike God. He is not everywhere in the world all the time. His location is specific to where he is at one given time. So is the status of his emissaries. They are fixed in location at any one given time. But the devil is active, and he is very proactive in seeking to attack those who would strive for purity. The devil, you see, is not really taken up with those whose lives are filled with debauchery. He doesn't need to be pursuant after them. He already has them dangling on the cord. He already has them playing the game that he wants them to play. He just needs to pull their strings and they will dance to his tune. So his energies are not taken up with the with the seeking after those who are already playing the game with him. Why would he? His energies are devoted to those who are consistently seeking to walk in the way of righteousness, because he despises that way, because that is the way of God and that is the way of Christ. And he particularly will seek to address those who are young. Young in age and young in the faith. Those who have not come to understand what it means to be a Christian. Those who are not solid and mature in the ways of God. And he does that because those young Christians think they are solid and mature. They think they are solid and mature. They think they are safe and secure. But that is a pride-filled, thought-driven process. They are very immature. They are very vulnerable. They are easily distracted and easily taken off the path that is right. They believe because they have an understanding of the things of God and people of their contemporary age don't have, or they have a sense of this new vibrancy in their lives as Christians. They feel as if they really know what's best. And of course, they don't know what's best. Far from it. And so the devil is constantly roaming as an adversary, prowling like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And so it is essential to be on one's guard. It is essential to be watchful. It is essential to have a sober-minded, serious attitude to these things. And none more so in the life of the young person or the young Christian. Because the lusts that come in the teenage years are such, the chemical development that takes place in the young body is such, that there is this desire to seek and to search. And the devil is only too willing and too ready to say, try it and see. Try it and see. And he leads to the path of destruction. His goal is to devour. Devour. And there is much need to guard the heart. There is much need to stand like a soldier at the entrance to the military base, weapon at the ready, surveying the landscape in front of him to see any evidence of any movement of terrorist or other activity. Alert, conscience, because he knows that if he falls asleep, he will not only expose himself, but those whom he is watching guard over, that the consequence of his failure to fulfill his duty is incredibly serious. Incredibly serious. And I would say to you young people, and I would say to all of us, you must be diligent at guarding your heart. For that is the place of entry by Satan. And if you are frivolous, and if you feel in being watchful, if you feel in observing what's going on in front of you in your life, if you fail or you lose that earnestness in observing the activities that you're getting involved in, if you lose the seriousness of watching what you're doing, then before long you will find yourself dabbling in that which is inappropriate, find yourself dabbling in that which is dangerous, and you will expose yourself to the reality of Satan, and he will come in and he will not tap you on the shoulder and say, "Listen, I've caught you out this time. I'll go back out and give you another wee chance." It's not like that. He'll come in and he'll nip you, and he'll gut you, and he'll garrote you, and your life, and he'll leave you with your stomach hanging out, and your heart hardly beating, and then he'll stand and laugh at you. That's what the enemy does. The enemy does not play games. The enemy is not a board game player. His desire is your destruction, not just in this life, but for all eternity. And if you fall asleep, if you take your eye off the scenario, if you allow your heart to wander, if you play with the idols of pleasure, then you are exposing yourself not to the laughs and the guffaws of your friends who are watching you. You're exposing yourself to a spirit world that will have you, that will have you and destroy you, leave you in tears and anguish. And if you think I speak not of what I know, I have dealt with it in my own life and my own ministry. It is real. You must guard your heart. You must survey what lies ahead of you and not walk thoughtlessly into territory that you have not surveyed. What are the parameters that we are to use to guard our hearts and the way forward? It's the Word of God. We're to guard it according to God's word. And that is really, really important. Because you see, it is only the word of God that will provide cleansing. Jesus speaks in John's gospel in the night in which he was betrayed. And he speaks to his disciples, the apostles, and he says to them in the 15th chapter of the gospel of John, "Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." He goes on later the same evening, and he prays what is known as the great high priestly prayer. And he prays to God. He tells them that they're going to remain in the world that hates them. And then he speaks to God and he says to God, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, make them holy, purify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth." You see, it's through the truth of God's word that we are kept holy. Through the truth of God's word that we are kept holy. And young people, that's really, really important. You may listen to your parents for a time, but there will come a day and an hour when your parents will no longer have a real hold over you, because you'll become your own man and your own woman. If you guard yourself solely on the basis of the counsel of your parents, good as that may be, that in turn will and can lead you into a situation where you will say, my parents think this, but I think this. I must live my own life, so I will go this way. Why it is important to guard your life and your heart according to God's word is because God not only rules over you, He rules over your parents. He genuinely does know what is best. And if you set the parameters of your life solely on the basis of what your parents think, you will reason your way out of that responsibility to obey and honor them, because you will reach a point where you will say, I have to make my own decisions. But if you guard your life according to God's word, then there's nowhere for you to run or hide. Because God knows you inside out. He knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. He knows what is right. He knows what is true. And you cannot reason against God. That is why it is so, so important that you build your relationship with God not on the basis of your parents' faith or your parents' love for God, but on your own faith and on your own love for God. It is of empirical importance, young people and children, that you grow up to love God for yourself, that you grow up to delight in God for yourself, that you grow up to know God for yourself, that you cherish God for yourself, that your joy in life is for God Himself. So that when you come to guard and survey the scene, and when the devil comes knocking at the door, not with a letter of delight and joy, but with a knife to cut you to shreds, while he smiles in your face and says, I'm giving you a good time. Have you ever thought of what the devil does? He comes and says, this is the greatest time you're having, and at the same time he's cutting you to pieces with his sinfulness and his destructiveness. Well, if the only basis on which you have to guard yourself is the basis of your father's faith or your mother's faith, then that will, all being good and all that it is, that will not suffice. But if you stand and you look at the enemy, surveying him and coming, see him coming towards you in a distance, and you bring the word of God to bear against him, then you'll resist him not in the strength of your parents, but you'll resist him in the strength of God. And as you resist him in the strength of God, he will flee. He will flee because in the strength of God, he is a defeated enemy. So you must guard your life on the basis of what God has revealed to you. And take heed to your parents as well, of course. The second step is a seeking. There's a guarding that must take place. And then there's a seeking. And this seeking is not and cannot be a half-hearted seeking. It cannot be done just as it suits when it suits. If only we as Christians could get this into our heads. That our seeking of God must be with our whole heart. Our whole heart. And not simply with those parts of our heart that we permit Him access into. And this seeking of God with one's whole heart comes when there is a true sense of your poverty before God. When there's a true sense of your sinfulness before God. When there's a true sense of your desperate need of God. The young person, young or old, will seek God when they comprehend by His grace that they are in desperate need of God. When God places within them a sense of their own poverty, their own beggarliness before Him, when God presents to them the reality of their own sinfulness and the destructiveness of that sinfulness, then that seeking after God will be vibrant and it will be real. It will be sincere and it will be true. And that young people, is the single most important thing in your life. That you would seek after God with all your heart. How many people destroy their lives through a partial seeking after God? How many people lay their lives in destitution because they simply will not settle to be at rest, to seek God patiently with their whole heart? How many people never experience the fulfillment of real joy in Christ because they will not give themselves, for whatever reason, they will not give themselves wholeheartedly to God? They just refuse. Well, the way of purity is not gained through partial heart love for God. The way of real purity, the way of holiness, is gained through giving yourself entirely to God. Giving yourself entirely to God. And there are people in this building tonight, and they are superb models of this. They seek God. Some people in this building tonight, and you will never know how much you have impacted my ministry and encouraged me by your wholehearted seeking after God. I know a little bit of what's going on in your life. I know something of a little bit of the physical struggles you experience. I know of the hurts you have because of unconverted family. I know the wrestles in the small areas of your life. And I know that you could easily make excuses. And you could say, there are many reasons why I shouldn't be constant and faithful in this. But you never, ever go down that road. You never go down that road. You're here at worship. You're tottering and you're dodging in to this building on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night. You're there praying with the people of God. And your world is difficult. And it's fraught with hurt. But there's a wholehearted, patient, deliberate, focused, conscientious seeking after God. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful to see. It's beautiful to observe. And there's times in my ministry when I wrestle and struggle, I think of you. I think of you. And I think of your wholehearted seeking. We need to, each one of us, seek God with all our heart. We need to be like a psalmist and say, let me not wander from your commandments. Here's a fear. Here is a good fear to have. There are some fears that are not good to have. Here's a good fear to have. A good fear is the fear of wandering from God's commandments. Isn't that a good fear to have? Young people, don't have a fear of offending the world. The world doesn't care about you. Do not be afraid or fear offending them. Understand and comprehend the father of lies wants you destroyed, wants your spiritual life destroyed. To those of us who are adults, do you get that as well? What a good fear it is, the fear of wandering from the commandments of God. God, do not let me wander from your commandments. There's seeking. There's hiding. This is not hide and seek. This is seek and hide. There's hiding. There's hiding of the Word of God. Hiding for security. Satan would steal it, you see. In the parable of the four soils, the birds come along and steal them. The second, it falls on ground where the soil is very, very diminished. Satan would come along and steal. Then there's the thorns and the cares of life. Satan would come along and steal. He doesn't want the word of life to rest in our souls. He doesn't want it to take root in our souls. And when it does take some form of root, he does all he can to rip it out. He wants to steal it. Why does he want to steal it? Because he knows that the word of life is that. It's the word of life. He knows that the word of God will bring purity and it will bring holiness. The word of life will take us to heaven. He will never enter into heaven. He will never experience the joy of heaven. And he has no desire for anyone else to have that. He is the most pathetic. He is the most pathetic, evil, destructive, spiritual being the world has ever seen. And we have got to learn to hide the Word of God in our souls. We've got to hide this Word. And how do you hide it? How do you hide it? Well, you read it and you learn it. I have stored up your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Have you thought about ever learning? Maybe you think I'm too old to learn. You're not. You're not. What if you set yourself the task of learning a verse a month for the rest of 2013? One verse a month of a psalm. Do you know what? If you were to rush and get one in before the 31st of January, you would get 13 verses in your heart before the end of the year. How many more verses is that than what you presently have in your heart? Is that 13 more than you presently have? Would that not be a great thing to hide the Word of God in your heart? And the hiding of the Word of God in your heart, young people, is one of the greatest means to protecting you when you're out from under your parents' influence that God has given us. Because the Word of God will keep you and protect you. And when you come to do that which is wrong, if you have hidden the Word of God in your heart, if you have hidden it there, the Spirit of God will bring it to your remembrance and He will protect you and He will guard you. He will keep your way pure. Is it beyond you to learn a verse a month? Some of you who are still young could learn a verse a week. You could. But not learning it so that I can say at the end of the year, I've learned 13 verses. But learning it so that I can say, I've learned some verses, and they will protect me and guard me and help me to stand against the devil. You see, it's not about doing it simply for the sake of being able to say I've done it. It's about hiding it for the sake of doing it. And that's encapsulated in the following verses, when the next step is delighting, because he says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the ways of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. Here is a delighting in what? In being taught by God. Imagine that we have the privilege of being taught by God. Imagine that we actually can be taught the ways of God, and we can delight in that. Imagine that we can, with our lips, declare and praise the ways of God to others, and that we can delight in the process. Isn't that the problem with too many of us, that we don't actually enjoy it? It's a burden. We don't delight in it. It's a joy to be taught by God. Young people, enjoy being taught by God. Delight in declaring. Delight the singing of His word. You may say, I'm not a great singer. That doesn't matter. We don't sing with our lips or our vocal cords. We sing with our hearts. When you sing with your heart, then whatever comes out of your lips, whether it's in tune or not, I should know this, and some of you will say, yes, you should know this. Whatever comes out of your lips, or the modulation of whatever comes out of your lips, doesn't really matter. It's what's in the heart. You're singing with delight because you delight in it. Isn't it true that if you delight in the things of God and you walk in the ways of God and they are your joy, then how will the devil get a foothold? It's whenever they're not a delight that then the door is opened. It's when they're not a delight and there's no hiding. When they're not a delight, there's no seeking. When they're not a delight, there's no guarding with intensity. You see, it's the delighting, the enjoying, the knowing, the loving of God, this relationship with God that keeps us pure. And that leads then to the meditating and the not forgetting. The meditating is the devouring, the digesting, the thinking upon the Word of God. And you see what the meditating does. The meditating what? It takes us back to delighting. I will meditate on all your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. You see how it all flows around together. How that the delighting leads to the meditating, and how the meditating leads to the delighting. And how that the meditating and its leading to the delighting will in turn lead to the meditating, and the meditating will lead to the delighting. That this knowing and reading the Word of God, I am astonished when a Christian man or woman who has professed his faith for a number of years says to me, I have no interest really in reading my Bible. I'm astonished at that. I can't get my head around it. I don't understand it. I just don't get it. I don't fathom it. Well, I do. I do. They don't delight in God. They don't delight in Him. They're fulfilling some outward religious routine, but there's no delighting in God. Otherwise, if there was that delighting, they'd be running to know God and meditate on His Word and understanding of His Word, which would then build on the delighting again. I mean, he's speaking here to the young man. This is what he expects the young person to have. The babe in the faith. I will not forget your word. Why? Because your word is the entrance into life. Your word is the means of my eternal joy. So guard your heart. Guard it according to God's word. Seek and be seeking after God. Hide the word of God in your soul. Think about learning some verses. Think about it. Ask God to teach you. Delight in that being taught. Delight in singing. Delight in speaking to God, of God to others. That delighting will take you to meditate, to digest and think and ponder and know and love, which will in turn bring more joy and more delighting. And you will not want to forget God's word. Why? Because it will be the instrument of your faith. How do I know that this works? I know that this works because I see much of it in many of your lives. I see many of you guarding your lives. I see many of you seeking God. I see many of you delighting in being taught in the things of God. I see some of you meditating, I think, on God's Word and spending time in it, serious time. which is building your joy in Him. I want to encourage you to keep on at it. Keep on growing in your purity. Keep on growing in your holiness. Keep on growing in the life as a Christian. Keep on, keep on, keep on. Not out of duty, but out of the prospect of being with God for all eternity. Young people, give yourself to God. Give yourself to God. Give yourself to God. And He will not sell you out the way that Satan would do every single time. Amen.